fic written by Petals42 and read by Hibatius. Warnings for torture and abuse. It's silly, but the one thing Styles remembers is that it's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday and he's done his exams early, and he's going to drive back to Beacon Hills tomorrow morning, and then all he has to do is wait a week for Scott to finish his exams at Santa Barbara, and then they will have a whole month of Christmas break. And yes, as his dad says, they may text literally all the time and Skype at least 4 times a week, often for hours, but it's not the same. It's been 2.5 years of college now, but Styles still looks forward to breaks more than anything. So it's a Tuesday, and Styles is somehow already counting down the days until he can plant himself on Scott's couch and stay there until Mrs. McCall throws them both out, and then they will both move to his house until his dad does the same. Lather, rinse, repeat. Maybe his mind was already on video games, or maybe he was going over the questions of the exam he just took, or maybe he had just let his guard down because it's been 2 years and it's Stanford. But regardless of the reason, he doesn't hear them until it's too late. Until there's a flurry of movement, and something hits his head, and the world goes dark. Time to wake up, the voice tells him, and it might be a sign of how hard he was hit, but Styles grunts out a no, and attempts to swat them away. The laughter is cold and mocking, and it wakes Styles up in a way that the words hadn't, because no one he knows makes a sound like that. Not ever. Ugh, Styles mutters, only now realizing that his mouth isn't cooperating and his head hurts. There's a hand that curls around his chin and runs up to stroke his forehead. That's right, sweetie, the voice says again, and Styles struggles to focus. But then he is being yanked to his feet, and his arms are forced over his head and tied there, and all the while that laughter is back. He passes out as he feels metal slide into place around his wrists and tells himself it's all just some strange nightmare. This isn't real. It's just a regular Tuesday. He doesn't stay asleep for long. When he awakens, his head feels clearer, and it only takes him a moment to figure out his predicament. His arms have been chained up too high above his head. His shoulders are already sore, and he frantically pushes himself up on his toes to try and alleviate the pressure. His movement doesn't go unnoticed. Why, hello! It's the woman from before. Styles glares at her, tries to figure out if he's seen her face before, if her blonde hair and broad smile are familiar. What do you want? He demands. He's not scared. He isn't. It may have been a while, but this isn't his first rodeo. There had been Gerard Argent, and then the Alpha Pack, and then the witches senior year, and... he's not scared. He's prepared. Aw, look at that, she says, smiling at him. He thinks we want something. From behind her, there was a chorus of grunting laughter. At least 3 men from what Styles can tell, maybe more. Villains always want something, Styles replies, attempting to sneer. Keep them distracted. That's the first rule. Keep them talking. You're predictable. Oh, am I? Before the words are out of her mouth, one of her cronies step forward and punches him across the mouth. Styles hadn't even seen the signal that prompted the action. He didn't see the second one either, too busy blinking back fog and gasping for breath, but it hits him squarely in the stomach and... yes, he manages, scrambling back up on his toes. Predictable and stupid. 3 punches this time, in rapid succession. Styles is ready for all of them. It's not his first time. She is silent for a time, and Styles is not surprised. He keeps talking anyway, insulting her mostly, because he can, and because he wants to break her, and because he's not scared and he can prove it. It has no effect on her, so he switches to her henchmen, and the only effect that seems to have is that they start hitting him harder. Or maybe they are just hitting him where he has already been hit, and that's why it starts hurting more. You know, she says, as the men back away, and Styles desperately tries to catch his breath, they're going to tell me.
Tell you what? Styles asks, spitting blood in her general direction. What a fucking piece of...
Everything I need to know about Scott McCall, she replies, casually, and that's it. There hadn't been any real sign of supernatural elements before this, and there had always been the chance that his dad had arrested someone with friends in low places, but now she'd messed up. She'd messed up, and he knows what they're after, and... Stiles screws his mouth shut and glares. She's not getting any information out of him. She leaves eventually, and Stiles takes the opportunity to sleep for as long as he can before the pain in his shoulders wakes him up, and he is scrambling to his toes once more, panting and coughing, and desperately trying to twist his arms into a somewhat comfortable position. It doesn't work, but the attempt causes a drop of blood to roll slowly down his forearm, and it's as he tilts his head up to watch the red streak of skin that he realizes he's in trouble. He's in trouble, and he needs Scott to find him. He's just not sure Scott even knows he should be looking. She's not asking any questions. That's what he realizes as the knife cuts into his side for the third, or fourth time, and he jerks away, only to push himself into a hot something, and he screams, and she keeps talking, but she's not actually asking any questions. Stiles hadn't really been listening, because he doesn't care what she's saying, because he's not talking. He's not, of course he's not, he would never. But he does now, just for something to focus on, and it's a story from her childhood, and comments about his body, and orders to take off his shirt. What do you want? He finally manages to slur together. His voice is shaky and scared, and he fucking knows it's a mistake, but he wants the option. Not that he would take it, but just having it, knowing that there is something he could do, something he could say to make this stop just for a few moments. It's power he would never use, but he needs it nonetheless. I already told you, she replies, her voice sharp and judging. You're telling me about Scott McCall.
Not telling you anything, he mutters.
She laughs. You're telling me everything I need to know, darling. And then the heat was back, and what tore from his throat wasn't a scream, but he wasn't sure how else he could describe it. When he wakes next, it's to darkness. He panics and flinches before he recognizes it as a blindfold. Just a blindfold. And that was okay, because one eye had been swollen shut anyway. She says something that Stiles doesn't catch, but then there's a hand around his right wrist, and Stiles nearly sobs in relief as the metal cuff is unlocked, and for just a moment, his arm is allowed to sink downwards. Then it's being raised again, higher this time, and...
No, no, fuck, don't!
He tries, scrambling upwards, trying desperately to plant his heels against the wall and push up.
Don't fucking stop! Don't!
His pleas fail as he knew they would, and there's a twist and then a pop, and the next moment there is a hand wiping away the tears that have made it past the black cloth covering his eyes.
Please,
he says, flinching away as her hand trails over his left shoulder.
Please don't.
Okay, she replies. Shh, it's okay. There's a gentle hand gliding through his hair, and because he doesn't have the energy to flinch away, he finds himself leaning into it. And in response, water is pressed to his lips, and he drinks greedily until he is gasping and...
Scott,
he manages, relief flooding his veins.
Scott's here. It's over. It's done, and he's fine, and...
No, the voice drawls. And Stiles' heart doesn't sink. It freezes.
Come on, Stiles, you know better.
The glass of water is pressed to his lips the next moment, and Stiles drinks because there's nothing else to do. It's followed by a wet rag that wipes his face, and it feels so good that Stiles opens his mouth to beg for it when it leaves.
You know he's not coming, right? She asks.
He's not going to come for you. He doesn't even know where you are. Stiles raises his head and tries to figure out where she is based on her voice, and says the first thing that has made sense in hours, or days, weeks.
Fuck you.
Oh, baby, she says, tittering. Idly, she presses a thumb into a bruise or burn, and Stiles' head jerks up and then down again.
He's not.
I promise he's not coming.
He's gonna kill you, Styles tells her.
He believes it. He loses track of things after that. There are more punches and knives and burns, and he can't stop shivering, but he tells himself it's still Tuesday, because that explains Scott's absence, and he tries to reduce his vocabulary to those four words, and then eventually three. Gonna kill you. She laughs, and then stops, and then runs her hands gently over his face, and at one point, she has one of her henchmen wake him up so for a moment, just a moment, he gets confused by the bigger hands and lower voice, and it's Scott, but then it's not, and gonna kill you, he tells whoever dared to pretend he was Scott. Gonna kill you. The man doesn't take kindly to that, and for a while, Styles' vocabulary is supplemented with words like, don't please, and no, but when it's over, Styles refocuses, and chants or snarls, fuck you, gonna kill, fuck you, until they leave him alone. When the blindfold comes off, Styles keeps his eyes closed. One is swollen shut, and the other is caked shut with blood, and opening them would be painful, and he doesn't need them anymore anyway. He's gotten good at this. He can tell when they come closer, and what's the point of seeing the hits if you can't brace yourself anyway? And if he can focus for just a moment past the ringing in his ears, he will make it through this.
Gonna kill you, he growls.
The voice is murmuring, low and steady, and Styles doesn't relax for one moment because they are coming closer.
Gonna kill.
Then hands are reaching up to his left arm, which until now has managed to remain blessedly still. Immediately, Styles changes tactics.
Don't,
he tries. Please, no, please don't. It's just like last time. Brief pressure upwards, and then it's being lowered, and it's agony. But Styles knows it will only get worse.
Stop,
he begs. And because he's desperate, he actually swings as he feels the hold loosen for just a moment. And then he screams, as all that does is twist his arm still chained up. And he thought he'd lost feeling in a daze before, but his stomach rolls as if he's going to throw up, and Styles cuts his scream off to a whine as he clamps his mouth shut.
Please,
he murmurs, teeth chattering, curling his left arm around his ribcage, not caring if it digs into open cuts and oozing burns as long as it doesn't go back up.
Please don't stop.
Scott, the voice says, insistently. He shakes his head.
Fuck you,
he says, curling to the side as if that will somehow hide him from them.
Not telling you anything.
He wouldn't. She hadn't been asking questions, but even if she started now.
Gonna kill you,
he tells her. Scott would do it. Scott will do it. Scott has finals until next Wednesday, but then he'll come find Styles because that's what Scott does, and
Styles, please,
the voice says, and a hand comes up to cup his face. He flinches away, but it doesn't move.
Please, please, I gotta get you out of here. Oh, God, Styles, it's me, it's Scott.
Styles freezes for just a moment before shaking his head. He can't fall for that again. Won't, can't. He just has to. He focuses on trying to feel blindly for foothold and lift himself up somehow.
Please, open your eyes, the voice continues. Please, I promise it's me. We once played Mario Kart for 12 hours straight. You like Parmesan cheese in your ramen. You're my Styles.
The voice sounds more panicked than he does, and familiar, and though Styles tells himself not to, he opens his eyes slowly. Or one of them, at least. Scott comes into focus slowly, and although his eyes are ever so slightly tinted red, and his jawline is perfectly crooked, Styles still doesn't quite believe it until he finally sees the tears that are falling freely from Scott's eyes.
Scott, he says.
For an instant, Scott sags as if his strings have been cut, and then he is nodding frantically.
Yes, yes, Styles, it's me. I promise. I just gotta get you down, okay? We're in the middle of the woods, and there's no ambulance, and you need a doctor, and I'm sorry. Scott, Styles repeats dumbly.
I gotta get you down, okay? Scott asks, and Styles nods. He doesn't quite know what that means, but it's Scott, so it's okay. Scott reaches up, and Stiles groans and breathes through his nose, and there's a stabbing, or maybe a tearing. And then, for all that he tries to stay awake, tries to stay with Scott, he finds himself slipping once more into darkness. Somehow, it's still not as terrifying. He hopes Scott is still there when he wakes up. He is. He is there when Stiles wakes up in the ambulance, confused and surrounded by people who won't stop talking too loud or driving too fast. He is there when Stiles wakes up in the hospital the first time, confused by the beeping of his heart monitor and concerned by how thin and tired and small his father looks sitting in the plastic chair next to the bed. He is there the next time Stiles wakes up, and the time after that, and after that, and eventually Stiles loses count. He just knows that Scott never goes home and rarely leaves the room. And when Stiles finally manages to slide over so there is space, Scott curls up in his bed without question. He's there for the entirety of break, never more than a few feet from Stiles' side, and Mrs. McCall never says anything, and though Stiles wants to be strong and tell Scott that he doesn't need to take a semester off just to be with Stiles, he isn't, and so Scott comes with him and Stiles is grateful. The end. That was Tuesday by Petals 42. You can find it at petals42.tumblr.com/post/11400807739.
Save me.